we are going to do Android a little differently than I had originally planned. Mike Arrigo, who was going to be joining us via Skype from St. Louis, misread my email. So he thought we were going to do it in the morning. And I didn't find out until last night at 7 o'clock that was though he could not switch his time to the afternoon. So we got together on Skype and recorded, or so I thought, a 2.5 hour presentation. I checked it twice. It seemed fine. When I finished, it had only recorded the first 10 or 15 seconds. And I didn't find this out until 10:30 last night. So he is very willing to come and for a session at another time. He did. He's done a couple of podcasts on Android. So I have those available, and I'm going to play both part of a podcast that he did to Accessible World. And also, there is an Android podcast called That Android Show. Do any of you know about that? And that is on the Serotalk podcast network. That's Serotalk. And for those of you who use podcast clients, for example, I use Downcast. I was able to put an Android show, Serotalk, and I got it right away and was able to subscribe without difficulty. I'm going to play some of that, some of the podcast, and also a flavor of that Android show so you get some sense. And Mike Arrigo is talking about Android, the latest iteration, which is Jelly Bean. I have to say, I was surprised in talking with him and listening to the demonstration that he did. I was surprised at how accessible it was. I will say that I think they have a ways to go. The typing on the keyboard, I don't think, is as slick as it is on the iPhone. And I'm going to make some references to iPhone just because I know a lot of us have them. He's a real fan, so I have to take what he says with somewhat of a grain of salt. But there are clearly some advantages to Android. You're not dealing with the Apple walled garden. So, for example, you can install apps that are not just in the Play Store, what they call the Play Store. You also, when an app is installed, you hear the permissions, so you know exactly what aspects of the device your app is trying to install, and you can customize that, you know, as opposed to, you know, you just hit the install button and Apple goes and gets your install. There are a number of voices that can be installed on the Android platform that are not, you don't just get whatever voice in your language Apple provides. And apps are often smaller as a result. A good example of that is the Bookshare app, where it's much, much larger on the Apple platform because of that restriction, because for Bookshare to have its own voice, it had to install the voices on the iOS platform within its app, whereas it's much smaller footprint on the Android platform because there's a lot more flexibility. When you first get a phone, if you hold your finger on the phone, two fingers on the phone for a few seconds, it will begin to talk. The caveat is that if you lose speech, however, for some reason, you can't get it back independently. You have to get a sighted person to help you. That, to me, was kind of a biggie. I was surprised, too, that the number of apps that are accessible within the Android platform. He did demonstrate for me a OCR app, which worked, you know, pretty well. I don't think it's much better than what's available for the iOS platform. I will say one thing they have on the Android phone he was using, you could turn a light on the phone, which helped with a dark room situation. One thing is Braille is not really well supported. So right now, if you want to use a Braille display, and he acknowledged this, that you wouldn't use the Android platform because they just don't have the Braille support. I think similarly to the iPhone and, iTouch and so forth, there are some real problems with productivity apps, meaning things like, you know, word processing apps, Excel type apps, that kind of thing. One of the things I asked about you know, could you get a vanilla Android phone? Because, of course, a lot of the phone manufacturers put their own overlay so that you don't get just a plain Droid interface. There are some, he said, if you want a plain Droid interface, the Nexus phones are good. He said he would avoid Motorola. And one of the advantages of the Android platform is there are a variety of phones available, and you can get unlocked phones so that they're not tied to a particular carrier more easily, I think, than you can for the iOS.
So I had heard that the newest Jelly Bean, the 4.2 Jelly Bean, was supposed to have additional accessibility. Was that the version that he was showing?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Play button.
In the blind community for a few years, that Android is just not as viable of an option for blind people as the iPhone. And for a while, that was probably true. And I'll give you a little bit of the history. But with Android version 4.1, Jelly Bean, that's no longer, I don't think that's no longer true. And anyone who still thinks that has not tried the newest version. Now, just to clarify, I don't work for Google or anything like that. This is just, it's important for, any consumer, really, but especially in the blind community, to be informed about things. And when something gets established, it's very hard to undo it. And that's what I'm going to attempt to do in this case, is to undo that thought, because it's really no longer true. So let's start with some of the history and maybe how that rumor got started, and then we'll take it from there. So Android, as many of you know, is one of the most, if not the most, popular smartphone platform. It owns at least 50% of the smartphone market, at least in the U.S. And really, the two most popular platforms now are Android and iOS. Symbian is kind of on the way out, and BlackBerry is too. We'll see what RIM does next year with BlackBerry 10, if that's even accessible. But so with Android 1.6, when that first came out, was the first version to have some accessibility. And really, not a whole lot changed from version 1.6 through 2.3. And each one has a dessert, too. Maybe I should make everybody hungry here and list all of them. I don't think 1.0 had a name. 1.5 was Cupcake. 1.6 was Donut. Then we went to 2, and that was Eclair, 2.1. Then 2.2 was Frozen Yogurt. 2.3 was Gingerbread. Now, Android version 3 was just for tablets. It never ran on any phone, and it was kind of just an interim. That was Honeycomb. Then, the next one's really tasty. Android version 4 was Ice Cream Sandwich. And now we're up to 4.1, which is Jelly Bean. Actually, 4.1.2. They just released a minor update to it the other day, which I am running here. So you will see the latest and greatest. And 4.2, actually, is going to be out in a couple of weeks. And that's rumored to be called Key Lime Pie. So that should make everybody hungry. Okay, so between 1.6 and 2.3 was when the accessibility interface, it really hadn't changed much during that time, and it was limited in some ways. You had to have a phone with either some kind of navigation control, and in a lot of cases, a hardware keyboard, and you could not read everything on the screen. You could only read the items that could have focus. So essentially what you had was, imagine a PC or a Mac with your screen reader where you could only tab around and use the arrow keys and read what was focusable, but you had no review cursor to read the screen. And of course that works somewhat. It was usable, but not the best that it could be. So when Android 4.0 came out, Ice Cream Sandwich was the first version to introduce touchscreen access. And I know Anna was on here a few weeks ago and showing that, where you could explore the screen, feel around, and then you would lift your finger and tap the item that you wanted. And it worked. It was usable. But some people had a harder time with it than others. You had to make sure you tapped in the right place, tapped on the item. And you really couldn't read the whole screen in a linear fashion. And you still had to install the Eyes-Free keyboard to be able to type on the screen. Well, with 4.1 Jelly Bean, the accessibility has finally come to full fruition. It's finally come full circle. You now have the basic gestures are the exact same as the iPhone: swiping left and right to move item by item, double tapping to select an item, and you can also set up your phone without sight. So what I'm going to do to get started here, I'm going to let the phone actually describe itself what the new features are. There's a tutorial, and if you get a phone or a tablet with a Jelly Bean on it, 4.1, you can set this up without sighted help. What you do is you power it up, obviously, and then you put two fingers on the screen and just hold your two fingers there for about 6 or 7 seconds, and that will enable the screen reader, TalkBack. And the first thing you will get when you do that, before you go to the phone screen setup, is this tutorial that I'm going to show you now. And I'm not going to talk about how I get to it at the moment. We'll talk about that after the tutorial, but I want to go through that and let you kind of show you what you'll encounter if you set up an Android 4.1 phone for the first time, as well as it will also describe the features that it has now. So I'm just going to go into settings, and like I say, I'm going to whiz through that. Okay. By the way, the voice I'm using on this is Ivona. It's the Ivona voices. So this will not be the voice you get out of the box. It'll be the Google text-to-speech. But you can certainly install this from the market. It is free. And hopefully everybody can hear the speech okay.
System settings.
All right, so we're going to go in there.
Clicked. Settings.
All right, and I'm going to go all the way down to accessibility.
Showing items 21 system.
And like I say, we'll bring this into fruition after the tutorial.
Date and time.
Okay. Accessibility. So let's go in there.
Accessibility. Accessible services.
Okay.
Call button answers. Call checkbox. Power. Large text system.
Okay. Talk there we go. Let's go in there.
List showing what settings.
Okay.
Talk back
so, settings. If you were to get a phone or a tablet and you held your two fingers on the screen, this is the first thing you would get once it was enabled.
Accessibility tutorial. Touch disabled while tutorial is speaking. When Explore by Touch is turned on, you can touch the screen to learn what's under your finger. For example, the current screen contains app icons. Find one of them by touching the screen and sliding your finger around.
And it dings to tell you that it's done talking with the tutorial. Okay, so let's just move the around the screen.
Camera.
There we go.
Good. Keep sliding your finger around the screen until you find at least one more icon. Email. You can also explore by swiping your finger left and right anywhere on the screen. Try quickly swiping from left to right to move to the next icon.
All right, that should be very familiar to those users of the iPhone. So we'll just swipe left to right.
Clock. To activate something that you've explored, tap the screen twice. Explore until you find the settings icon. Then double tap anywhere on the screen to activate it.
Okay, it's on the top left, but I'll go ahead and swipe back to the left just so you can kind of see how this works. So we'll swipe from right to left.
Email. Camera. Gallery. Camera. Messaging. Settings. You found the settings icon. Double tap anywhere on the screen to activate the icon.
And again, for iPhone users, that should be very familiar.
Clicked. To move to the next lesson, find the next button located near the bottom right corner of the screen, then double tap to activate it.
All right, so we'll go to the bottom right of the screen.
Next button.
And double tap.
Calendar, showing items 1 to 10 of 49. Now place two fingers on an item in the list and slide both fingers up. If you reach the top of the screen, lift your fingers, place them lower on the list, and continue sliding up.
Okay, this is one difference. I guess before we continue, there are some similarities now to the way you interact with an Android device with 4.1 as the iPhone, but also by the same token, it is different. So if you've had an iPhone and you decide you want to try Android, there are some similarities, but there are some differences. Android has a different way of doing some things, and here's one of them. With VoiceOver, you can swipe right through the whole screen, and you'll go from top to bottom. The way Android works is you move through the visible items on the screen, and then if there's more to read, you have to scroll it. And really, that's more of how a sighted person uses it. I don't know if one approach is better than another. But certainly this way, it's more like how a sighted person uses a phone, because a sighted person has to scroll it. And the way you do that is you swipe two fingers from bottom to top to scroll it. So we'll do that now.
Explore the screen to find one more app showing items 9 to 18 of 49.
You notice it says showing items 9 to 18 of 49. Okay, so.
Play Store.
There we go. Found
you can
right.
Also scroll an entire page by swiping your finger. To scroll to the next page, swipe right then left using a single motion. Try to scroll to the next page by swiping right then left.
Yeah, so the two-finger scroll up or down scrolls, well, it may not always be an exact screen, but it scrolls however far you swipe, whereas if you do this right-left gesture, it scrolls an exact page.
Tune in Radio Pro. Explore the screen again to find an app in the current page, showing items 18 to 28 to 49.
Okay, so...
Super user.
There we go.
Swiping the opposite direction, left then right in a single motion, will move to the previous page. Try to scroll to the previous page by swiping left then right. Tune in Radio Pro, showing items 9 to 18 of 49. To move to the next lesson, find and activate the next button, located near the bottom right corner of the screen.
So there's the next one. We have one more page of the tutorial.
Next button.
And we'll double tap.
By default, swiping left or right reads blocks of text all at once. You can also read through blocks of on-screen text by word or character. First, find the text that begins with the word this.
Okay, so we'll swipe to the right.
Lesson 3. Reading by... This is an example of a large block of text. You can move through this text at a specific reading level using swipe gestures, or read it all at once using touch gestures. This is the second paragraph. This is the third and final paragraph. Swipe down then up to change the reading level, then swipe right to move through this text. Next, you can start reading this block at a specific level by swiping down then up in a single motion. Try swiping down then up to change the reading level, then swipe right to read through the text.
Okay, so you can swipe down then up or up then down, and it goes in the other direction. You can kind of think of that as the equivalent of the iPhone rotor. It does the same thing. So if we do that...
Read by paragraph.
We can do that.
Read by word.
Okay, let's try that.
This is an example of a large block.
Okay, what if we wanted to do by character?
Read by character. Space O F space T E X T period.
Okay, so let's go back. Oh, we can do it by paragraph. Let's see.
Default reading level. Read by paragraph. You can move through this text at a specific reading level using swipe gestures or read it. This is the second paragraph. This is the third and final paragraph.
I want to pause it for a second. To tell you a couple of things. One is that clicking noise, it's in the podcast, there's nothing I can do about it. One of the differences between Android and iOS, where I think iOS is still ahead in terms of accessibility, is you have a lot more options, as any of you who uses an iPhone knows. You know, you can move by headings and links and all sorts of things. I don't think they're supported. They may be supported in an individual application. I know he uses Firefox, but I don't think it's universally supported. So that's one difference.
Play.
Not a tablet, correct?
He's using a phone.
Okay.
Yeah, he definitely is using a phone.
Read by character. Default reading level.
And we should be able to tap the finish button on the bottom now.
Finish button.
Yes. All right. So what you've got now, that should give you, and that's what you'll get again if you activate this on a new phone. So as soon as you do that, it automatically starts the tutorial and takes you through how to use that. So what we've got the swipe left and right now. We have double tap to activate something. We can also read any part of the screen by paragraph, by word, or by character. So, with that having been said, let me show you some other things that are now fixed also that read very nicely compared to 2.3. Some of this was fixed in actually Android 4.0, but I'll kind of combine it. Let's go into settings of the main phone. So to do that, let me unlock my phone again.
720 p.m. ringer, 100%.
Okay, and it says the time and the ringer volume. I don't have anything really on my home screen. I keep a pretty non-cluttered screen, so all I really have is my apps list. But let's press the menu key.
Wallpaper.
Now, this phone does have a QWERTY keyboard on it, okay, but I'm not going to use it. It's not pulled out. I'm not using the arrow keys. I'm not going to use that because I want to show you what you'll get on a phone that, you know, doesn't have that, because a lot of phones don't have the QWERTY keyboards nowadays, and that's no longer even required. So I just pressed the menu key. Let's swipe to the right to go to settings.
Manage app, system settings.
System settings. And to activate it, double tap.
Clicked.
Okay.
Settings disabled.
What I want to do is get to display, because I want to show you one thing that used to not read, but that reads really nicely now. I think it's on this first screen.
Interface.
Let's see. Okay, I can just swipe to the right from there. I just touched in the middle of the screen.
Launcher. Lock screen. Themes. System. Device.
Okay. No, it isn't. So again, here's one difference between Android and
wireless and network.
Let's see.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's not on the screen. So, again, we do two fingers, and we swipe it from bottom to top.
Lock screen, showing items 8 to 19 of 31.
It says showing items 8 to 19 of 31. So, now we're on the second screen.
Display.
There's display. That's what I want. So, let's double tap it.
Clicked. Display. Navigate up. Showing
what I want to get
to... Display. Brightness.
Brightness is what I want to go into.
Alert. Brightness. Automatic brightness. Cancel. Okay. Automatic brightness. Checkbox. Not checked.
And the next item.
Seat control. 0%.
I have my brightness all the way down because it saves your battery. Sliders, though, used to not read. You couldn't read them. You moved to them with the arrow keys or whatever, and they just wouldn't read. Well, now they read very nicely, and the percentage is spoken, so you're good to go there as far as that goes. Okay, let's back out of here. I just wanted to show you that. Okay.
Display. Navigate up. Settings. Disabled.
Okay, so now we're... that's that. And, of course, we can read any part of a window.
System settings.
Go back into system settings here. And I'm going to go ahead and turn on my Wi-Fi while I'm in here, too. And to do that, we're just going to swipe to the right.
Settings. Wireless and network. Wi-Fi. OFF checkbox.
This is off, and the checkbox is not checked, so to toggle it, double tap that.
Launcher. Lock screen. Bluetooth.
Well, maybe.
OFF checkbox.
I want to stop it for a second. One difference is if you are using an Android phone and you want to create a message, for example, and you want to use the dictation option, which is available on the Android platform, you don't use your data. So you can do that even if you don't have any kind of a connection. That's one difference.
OFF checkbox. Wi-Fi. OFF checkbox. Check on.
There we go. All right, so we double tap that and turn on my the Wi-Fi. That way we get a lot faster data connection here. Okay, so, and if we want to read any part of this again, if you want to spell something, before that was always an issue in previous versions of Android. You couldn't spell anything. Well, now we can. Let's
data usage.
Find an item here. Now, what if we wanted to spell that? Well, again, we can swipe up and down or down and up. Actually, let's do down and up because I think that will...
Read by character.
Read by character. Now if we swipe to the right.
Capital D A T A space U S A G E.
And there we are. So now we can swipe up and back down to go back to the default.
Default reading level.
Default reading level. So anything on the screen now can be read by word, spelled, any of that. It's all here now, which is a very good thing. Okay. What about typing? That's another big one. Well, before, what we had to do was install, the eyes-free keyboard or something like that to be able to type. Well, no longer in Android 4.1. Let's open up the apps list. I exited out of settings with the back key. So I'm going to find on the screen here my apps.
Apps.
And we double-tap that.
Phone.
All right. Now, let's...
Calendar. Clock.
Okay. So I'm going to have to... I'm going to have to scroll this to the next page to get to messaging. So to do that, I just did that swiping left and right really fast, and that moves you up to the next page. So messaging should be on this screen.
Movie Studio.
Okay. Now from there, we can just swipe back to the left, and we should find it.
Messaging.
There we go. Let's double tap it.
Clicked.
All right. Now, I don't have anybody to...
I have a quick question. Yeah. He says he's swiping left to right to move page, but also swiping left to right to switch between things on a page?
I think it's left and right, like left, right, quickly, yeah, to switch pages.
So you're not swiping, you're like sort of...
Left, right, it's
kind tapping. Of...
No, it's a swipe.
It's a swipe, but it's a left, right
left
at the same time.
Right.
Would you,
oh, I see.
It's
back and forth. It's like the sort of erase gesture with
yes.
two fingers on the iPad,
yeah.
but with one finger.
Yeah.
Got it, okay.
What I'll do is I'll just go to a new message screen. I'll just type some text into the message body field, and then we'll just discard it. So we want to get to the new message option. Let's just swipe to the right.
Messaging. No conversations. New message.
There we go. Double tap it.
Clicked.
All right. Items 1 to 0. Okay, so what we're going to do is, that's the 2 field, which I'm not going to fill in this case, so let's just swipe to the right.
List showing, edit box, type message.
There we are, type message, and if we double tap there. Okay, the keyboard has actually appeared now, and we can type. Now, this keyboard is a little more sensitive than the iPhones. You have to kind of get the key right in the middle for it to type it, and you can tell because when you lift your finger, it makes a sound, and so you can tell if it's typed. If you're not exactly in the middle of the letter and you don't hear the typing sound, you can double tap on the screen and it will insert the last letter it spoke. So it's a little bit of a combination of touch typing and double tapping, actually, but usually the touch type way does work. So why don't I just write, I don't know, this is a test message. How about that? So let's just find on the screen here. Okay, see, I must not have been exactly on it because it said T, so I'll just double tap to insert that letter.
Clicked.
Well, maybe.
Clicked.
Come on.
R.
Try that again.
T.
This is why I prefer a QWERTY keyboard, because it's much easier and much faster. But, you know, not every phone has that, and you shouldn't be restricted to that. All right, so there's the T.
Y. H. H.
There's the H.
Edit bar. I. I. S. S.
And space.
C. Space. This. U. I. I. S. S. Space. Is. A. A. C. Space. A. T. T. E. E. S. S. T. T. C. Space. Test.
I keep hitting the C when I'm trying to do the spacer, so you gotta move your finger down a bit. Okay, this is a test, and then... we are. Now, if we swipe to the right, would be the
send button disabled.
Send, and it's disabled because
this is a test message.
And we could read that, of course, character by character or word by word, just like anything else. But the send is disabled, of course, because I didn't enter anyone to send it to. But there you go. That's the on-screen keyboard. Now, let me show you something else here that's really neat. Let's discard this message. So I'm going to hit the menu key.
Add subject. And we're going to items 1 to 5 of 5.
Let's go to a discard.
Insert discard.
Double tap it.
Messaging disabled.
All right. Let's do another new message this time because I want to show you something else that's really cool.
Messaging. No conversation. New message. Click. Messaging.
Okay.
Edit box.
Let's go back to that message field.
List. Edit box. Type message.
Okay. Now, this is really cool.
X. Voice input. Double tap to activate.
This is a test message, period.
This is a test message. Message.
Okay, so there we are.
Text.
It, I don't know if it's still listening or not there, but...
There you go. Send button disabled.
Yeah. Come on.
Edit box. This is a test message.
Yeah, so it's it. There we go. This is a test message. So it you can also dictate, and you press the microphone key, and it. I think you got to press it again actually when you're done. Let me see. I haven't played a lot with the dictation, but anyway, we'll just. Yeah, I think it's still listening actually. I should practice more with the dictation, but it's there. And. It does
edit
work.
Box.
So, and the cool thing about Android is... Yeah, see, it's still trying to recognize it. So you do have to actually hit the microphone button again to stop, I guess, is what you got to do there. I should practice more with the dictation. But it is a really cool feature. And the cool thing about Android 4.1 is the voice recognition is stored on the phone itself, so you don't need a data connection to do it.
I was skipping.
No problem. So with the keyboard, did you ask him whether it is possible in Android to adjust the key echo so that you just echo, so that instead of hitting A, and then when you release it, it tells you that you pressed A.
I did not ask that. I don't. Something tells me though, from something else I've read, that that's not possible though.
Okay,
that you can't do that. Yeah, no, very excruciating. I thought
this is a test message. It was totally accurate. So that's a good thing. All right, let's get out of messaging. And what about making a phone call? Okay. Well, with that, let's go to the phone application.
Apps.
So again, we'll go to apps, double tap it.
Movie studio.
All right. I don't know if phone will be on this page.
Phone.
Yes, it is. So we double tap it.
Clicked. Phone. Edit box.
Okay. What we have on the screen now is the dial pad. Now, this is not touch type. You do have to double tap to make it work. So what if I wanted to dial the local weather here? 321-2222. You can find the items and double tap them, or you can swipe. So the 3 should be up a little bit. Let's see.
2-6-3 button.
There we go.
Double tap to activate. Clicked.
There we go. And we can just swipe to the left then.
2 button. Clicked.
Okay. And then 1.
1 button. Clicked.
And then
2 button. Clicked. Clicked. Clicked.
321-2222. If you have a QWERTY keyboard, you know, of course you can just type it directly, but again, I want to show the experience here for a phone that doesn't have one, because most of them won't. Okay. To dial it then, you can either swipe down. The dial button is down, I believe, on the bottom.
Dial button.
There we are. Let's double tap it.
Clicked.
And it will dial. Now on this screen you won't be able to hear the speech because it comes out of the earpiece. But you can swipe to the right, and I'll tell you what we have. Dial pad, and the checkbox is not checked. And what that does is it will give you the dial pad if you want to interact with a voice system. Audio, and it's not checked. That's the speakerphone. If we check that.
Checked audio.
Or arthritis? Do you need knee or hip replacement surgery?
And that's the advertisement. But I'll show you what else we have on the call screen.
Mute checkbox. Not checked. Hold checkbox. Not checked. Add call button.
Okay.
Contact photo. End button.
So to hang up on this now, we can either double tap on the end button, or there's also a setting to use the power button to end a call. I'm already on end, so I'll just double tap it.
Clicked. Phone. Edit box.
Okay. So that's the phone application. And the call log.
Again, I thought that was interesting that you had to find the end button, which is not difficult to do, but there didn't seem to be a gesture available to end a call.
Well, although he did say pressing the power button.
Right, no, that's something you can configure
in
the power, but it's not something that by default does it on the power button. But you can configure your power button to do that.
This is Nancy. Yeah. I just got the new Galaxy, and I downloaded a gesture to hang a call, and it would just be like you'd be holding your phone, you go through the motion to hang up a receiver, and it stops, it hangs up the phone.
Okay, so you downloaded something different.
Yeah.
A while back, I was using a friend's Android phone. There's this feature where you could dial based on gestures, so you could basically, whatever you touch on the phone becomes the 5, and in order to dial a digit, you swipe in relation to where your finger initially touches the screen. I don't know, but it seemed a bit more smooth than the way he was
doing. Than this. Yeah, and I don't know that he did not demonstrate that.
Swipe keyboard where you can just drag your finger and it will, where you stop, it'll tell you what number of letters.
There's that, and then there's this one, it was supposed to be an accessible keyboard where basically you wherever you initially put your finger, it's the 5, and then say if you wanted to dial a 9, you literally just swipe
down to the right.
Yeah, and it would vibrate to indicate.
That was developed by one of the people who was he's blind and was a developer for Android system. It's like Plexi, which is relational for a whole keyboard. That was for a dialing keypad.
I think what he was doing is sort of the vanilla experience that you get out of the box.
I thought this came. Oh, maybe you do have to download it separately.
Yeah, I think you do. I think that's one of the things that he said is, you know, there's a lot of other free things. There are a lot of other things that you can download. So you can download a number of voices. You can download other apps that do certain things. But he was giving sort of the vanilla. This is what you get out of the box presentation. One thing. I mean, he used Google Goggles. And on my demonstration with him last night, and I must say, he was in a dark room. He was able to turn the light on the phone,
And that did recognize a CD instantaneously. That was kind of, I mean, there we have apps on the iPhone, but if you're not in a dark, in a light room, you got to turn lights on. But the phone he was using had a...
As in, he held up a CD in front of it and yeah. said, "Here's it's a CD, and here's which CD, and here are the songs on it."
Well, yeah, this is a CD and what it is, and then it opened a web page. Okay. So you could then go to, you could list the songs and you could buy it if you want. You know what I mean? It actually opened the web page.
Do you know if he's tried like going outside and pointing it at a storefront? Because honestly, like that would be the thing that I want.
I don't know. No. And what
store is this?
And actually, the problem is that with that is that you can't. The difficulty is like with the iPhone. I mean, it's an 8-pixel camera on some of the new phones or greater, but you still have to be able to point. I asked him about accuracy and pointing in getting the image, and he said that he just put it on the table and lifted it up kind of the way we do with other apps. But I get the sense he tried it with a food box, for example, and that did not work.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I think in terms of, from what he showed me last night, in terms of the accessibility of the kind of barcode scanning apps and so forth, that I think we're in a similar place. Probably not worse on Android necessarily than on iOS, but probably in the same place. I did ask about email, for example. You can thread the conversations the way you do on iOS. He didn't demonstrate email here, and I didn't have him demonstrate it when I was talking to him. One thing he talked about was that Google, the maps that they have, transit mode, pedestrian mode, and auto mode for navigation. And he said that it'll tell you what the nearest bus what the bus stops are and so forth, and tell you where you are, and actually can track if you have been somewhere before. Say you're riding in a car and you've been somewhere before, it will then automatically alert you, say if there is traffic congestion coming up, because it will know where it keeps kind of track of where your destination might be if you've been there before.
And did you say whether it did turn by turn navigation directions for pedestrians?
It does. The web browser, I will tell you, is not as robust as Safari, in my opinion.
Which is funny, because Chrome on iOS is actually really great.
Well, Chrome, and yeah. Well, look, I mean, I think it's accessible, but I don't think it has the same level of navigation. I would say one thing he did suggest, and this is something I may actually do, is that if you don't want to get a phone, you don't want to switch your phone because you've bought 249 apps on the iPhone and you don't want to really switch, is you might want to consider a tablet. An Android tablet, and sort of get in that way.
And Amy, I think, isn't it the Nexus 7 that's the most Google, centric without any apps?
Yes.
And supposedly there's a new one coming out shortly with the Jelly Bean 4.2.
Yes.
Like sometime in the next, I think it's even like within the next week or two.
I think they were supposed to announce that, and then the hurricane hit, and so they didn't have that.
I think they announced it in Sandy, and they said it's coming in like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
How much are those tablets?
$249
$199
to $249.
$199, I think, yeah.
You can get them at Staples, Best Buy.
Everybody's now, are the screen readers built into those tablets, or do you have to buy the screen reader and install?
No, it's the same as iOS.
It's the same as iOS
in
that respect.
The screen reader's built in. One of the questions I have, and I still don't have the answer to this completely, is how techie do you have to be to install some of this stuff? Now, I did have him install something from the Play Store, and that was pretty straightforward. You chose to install it, and it went through. But if you have to install something that's third party, I don't know how easy that is. Now, one other difference that he doesn't talk about on this podcast, but that I think is really important to mention, is that you can actually, if you have an Android phone, it uses that mini USB connector. One of the problems with the Apple phones is that they had this one connector, and now they have a different one called the Lightning connector, and it's very proprietary. The Android phones, by contrast, use the standard mini USB connector. What they allow you to do is if you have files on your computer, you can connect your phone to your computer. It looks just like a drive, and you can just take any files you want and stick them on your phone. When I wanted to put this podcast file as an MP3 on my phone, I had to send it to Dropbox, and then I had to copy it to my favorites, and then go to Downcast, then export it to Downcast and then import it within Downcast. You know, you don't have to do that with an Android phone. I could have just taken the files and plopped them where I wanted on the phone from my computer. That is one advantage to that platform. The other thing is that there are, unless you jailbreak an iPhone, you can't install anything that's not within the App Store. And that's not true. There is a lot more flexibility, obviously, with the Android platform around what you can install on your phone.
Is there any issue of, just corruption? In Windows, after enough programs are downloaded onto your computer,
it corrupts.
It gets a little high wire.
That could happen with any.
I think that's true with any. Now, it was interesting. I did have to chuckle about this. Last night, he was saying he wanted to reboot the phone before he tried something because he said his phone was getting a bit sluggish. So I asked him whether there was something like the app switcher, which there is. And once he cleared out all the stuff that was running in the app, in that equivalent to the app switcher, it worked fine. That I found interesting. But like the iPhone, you kind of have to reboot once in a while. But I don't think there's more corruption. One other difference, I asked about refund on purchases. And what he said was, you can get a refund within 15 minutes. So if you download something within 15 minutes, you can go back and get it. You can reverse the purchase.
That is better than with Apple, where you can only get a refund by calling Apple and dealing with the whole... The last time I needed a refund from the App Store, it was like pulling teeth.
I've never had a problem. I've just emailed accessibility and usually gotten it done right away. But I think people's mileage has varied about that. I agree with you. There is a mailing list. There are a couple of mailing lists dedicated to Android accessibility, but there is, and there are a couple of websites, but as he even acknowledged, they're not always as well updated. We don't have something like an equivalent to Applebiz. Your support, and the other difference is, if you go into a store, you don't have the equivalent of being able to walk into an Apple store and have them understand what you're talking about remotely. On the Saratalk podcast network, there is a program called That Android Show. They demonstrate different apps. They talk about the changes and the news. And I do this in Downcast, and it also, whatever stories they're covering, it puts the links right there so you can click on them and go into those. I'm just going to give you a couple minutes of a flavor of that so you get a sense of what their podcast is like. I will say from my limited listening, they will also criticize as well as commend, but let me get to that.
Did you speak to the guy about whether or not there was some sort of productivity, at least in the word processing realm, app that was, if not comparable to something like Word, at least better than a plain text editor?
He is not aware of one. I did ask the question. But, and again, he does not do word processing on his device. So I'm just going to play a few minutes of this so you can
make Android more accessible for everyone. That Android show episode 12. This one matches my outfit.
So what about the ideal EPUB reader? Is it... Anyone tried it? I haven't tried it because I didn't really hear about it until today, I think.
Here's the thing. It's not bad. I already had Darwin Reader, which did a good job at a lot of this stuff. And there's also a couple others that do EPUBs. That we've gone from zero to several EPUB readers, which is a good thing. So... Yeah, Moonreader does some, Bleo does them. There's nothing Go that read. Makes Ideal stand out that I have to have that one. But if you don't have one and you just want to quickly get it, then it's there for you.
Another one there.
I have not tried the Ideal Reader, but the notes sound really interesting. It says that you can take notes, either type them in or speak them in. And so that sounds like a really good feature that would make it worth trying. So my goal is to try it and see how well that works.
There's also a new currency app. Was this necessary? I don't know. I guess the government paid for it. So there you go. There's our U.S. government at work. it's a new currency app, which does less than the other currency app that was already out.
I think the advantage to the Ideal Reader is that it does the money recognition offline, so you don't need a data connection. I think that's the difference.
I thought Darwin did too, though.
Yeah, Darwin
does.
Does
it?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. It does. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it does. And it reads UK currency, which Ideal doesn't.
Yeah, right, Canadian.
And speaking of the Darwin money identifier, it's gone open source recently, and so though it supports a number of currencies, people in the community can contribute code so that it recognizes even more currencies. That's nice.
You know, it'd be interesting. Any of the programmers listening, and we have a couple. So I wonder what that could be done, since that code is out there now, as far as other object recognition and things like that. Are there other applications that could be done? It'd be some interesting code to look at if you were a programmer, just kind of see what they did and you know, what you might be able to do with that. You know, money counting. I want to add modes we're going to read Monopoly money. Come on now. I never tried that, the print Monopoly money, like with Google Goggles, to see if it works.
I'll bet it would. I'll bet it would.
That gives you a bit of a sense. I want to play one more thing.
That Android show. Back button. That Android show episode 12. This one matches my outfit. That Android show episode 11. That's it.
All right, moving on to something that I find very excited about is a story that says that Google Goggles and Google Glass will include some automatic object recognition. Now, this article says that Google is going to be using colors, shape, and motion to identify objects, animate and inanimate. So this is in addition to things like face detection and face recognition. The article says something like, who knows what this will be put to use for. But of course, I was very excited because I thought this is great. It would allow me to recognize maybe furniture in a room or posts as I'm walking along the sidewalk. So I think that for us, this has fantastic implications. And I don't know, it may even have implications for things like described video. I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know about that, but I noticed as well that they've updated goggles, or they're going to update goggles, to do with phones that don't have autofocus, and that's interesting as well. So maybe they're improving the whole camera experience.
They do seem to be. Goggles has definitely been one of those things where there's been some pretty decent improvements. When you look at Goggles, the app from a year or two ago compared to how it works now, it's definitely a lot better. It's a quite suitable currency identifier at this point. It's pretty good for identifying lots of grocery-type items, CDs, books, things like that. And, you know, it's starting to do better for other things as well. Of course, you have the, you know, the instantaneous.
Okay. So you get a flavor. They don't produce on a particular schedule. I think there've now been 12 episodes of this particular podcast. But it gives you a good sense. And they, as I say, they will complain about the things that don't work well as well. They do app reviews, which is good, because I think certainly if you're in the Android arena, just as you are with iOS, you don't know what's going to work and what's not. But no, it's and now I guess the other question I have is, would people like me to get him to actually come and answer questions and do other things? Are people interested enough in this to do that?
I mean, my feeling would be that I might be interested not in December, but maybe in January
or February.
Like after the new hotness of Jelly Key Lime Pro,
whatever comes out.
And so he'll have a chance to play with it, and maybe I or others will have a chance to play with it, and we can have sort of targeted questions to say, hey,
what about this?
Because I couldn't figure out how to do it, and it's annoying.
No, I think that's a great idea, and he's willing to do that, and again, apologize profusely for not being able to accommodate our time frame.
One comparison you can make is that when it comes to new versions of the operating system, for instance, in iOS, if your device supports the latest operating system, you can just upgrade to the operating system. Whatever, when iOS 6 came out. That's not necessarily the case with the Android.
One of the things he said, he has, this guy buys, I want his bank account. He buys every gadget known to man, I think. And he has about 5 different phones. And he said that he actually has taken phones that were not designed to work on the latest software, and he's actually upgraded them, and they've worked fine.
Yeah, but you know, that may be
that's a, I mean, to me, that's a little, that's a, you got to be pretty.
Yeah, but it may also be like running Windows 7 on an XP machine.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying I would recommend this, but one of the other differences is Android gets updated a lot more frequently. In other words, if we have something, we have to wait for the next iteration of, I mean, this is good and bad, I think. For iOS, you have to wait until Apple decides to release a new version of iOS. Android platform gets updated a lot more frequently with bug fixes.
Generally speaking, if you go with something that has the word Nexus in it.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
is one of
right.
the Google reference devices.
Yeah.
And so
yes.
those are the ones that are more likely to be upgradable with
that's
new
right.
versions of Android as they come out. Because
that's
they're
exactly
really
right.
targeted. They're the ones that don't have any kind of special skins from the companies. They're the vanilla versions of the phone with Android, and they are designed to be the ones that get the first updates so that developers can make their apps work on
yeah.
those new OSs.
Who makes Nexus, or is it a company?
Google basically contracts with different manufacturers to make the different... So, for instance, I believe Asus is making the Nexus 7, and LG is making the new Nexus 4 phone that's going to be coming out sometime in the next couple of months, and Samsung makes the Nexus 10-inch tablet. Basically, the way that Google has gotten Android to the market is that they have not made one company sort of more dominant than any other. They've been pretty fair and balanced in doling out deals to manufacturers.
Is there any kind of guidelines to push these app developers to make them accessible, or how does that all work?
Google, like Apple, does provide, there is a section that developers can use, and actually, if something is not accessible, developers get an alert that it's not accessible, and it gives them the option to go back and fix it. So there are some standards that Google has identified, but there's no more or less mandate, just as
right.
the same thing with Apple, that they do so. There are lots of updates, and you just, sometimes you don't know, whether you can trust that when they do an update that it's actually going to, the accessibility is going to remain intact. That's the same thing within the Apple
mm-hmm.
environment. And I don't believe once you have updated, unless you're very technically inclined, I don't think you can go back to a previous version.
Can you do that in an Apple?
Yes. If you have saved a copy of that app on your computer, for example, and restore through iTunes, back up through iTunes, you can do that.
You cannot roll back to a prior version of iOS.
No, that you cannot
Whereas
do.
Whereas I
no.
think that if you... if you okay, yes, you can, but it's but like even I can't do it.
No.
Like, it's a pain. It's beyond a pain in the ass. I think you probably can roll back your Android phone to a prior version of Android just because they're, because they're not Apple.
But I don't know how accessible that process is.
True. Yes.
I didn't get.
But even a sighted person can't roll back their iOS.
Right. No. I understand that. I'm just saying I don't know that that's necessarily
yeah.
an accessible process.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the things he was talking about were things like bootloaders and
yeah,
this
yeah.
and that, and
yeah, yeah.
and that's not for the
faint of heart.
Exactly. Because you can get a brick pretty easily. If you take your phone in and you've made a brick out of it, the people at the phone store are probably not going to be very necessarily. Able to help you very easily. Thank you all again. I apologize for the problem with the Android. We'll do more of it, and I appreciate your patience.